For January the 27th, 2023, we talk about Definitely Not Fried Chicken, Days Gone, Call of Duty Warzone, and much more. Welcome to Level 444. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome, one and all. I'm just going to come right out the front and say, I got nothing in terms of like a banter this week. Some weeks you just take an L. Some weeks you just work.
I was you got me thinking, like, I wonder what would happen if we opened up and you're like, welcome, one. I'm not going to say who it is, but the rest of you can go fuck yourselves.
The rest of you know what you did. Yeah. In lieu of that, I'm going to share in the Zencaster chat. I'm going to send you something that I think that it's worth you all looking at. Just to see.
It's not a cat. I'm disappointed.
It is. So that is a tweet that the Game Awards account tweeted out promoting.
Sorry, where's the shared?
It's in the Zencaster window okay. In the chat there. Yeah. It is a product called the Mutalk.
It is not
a parody, no matter how much you think it is. This is not an endorsement, although I am playing into their marketing by even mentioning their name. So I want you to take a look at the image, specifically the image of the man wearing the VR headset.
Oh no!
Appears to be a smaller VR headset, are just around his mouth, like some kind of muzzle, like some kind of feed bag.
How do you need more straps for the mouth one than the head one?
This is going to be somebody's sexual awakening, and that's awesome. Yes. That is awesome.
So guys, I just posted a image in the chat. That first one is definitely a Warframe. Seriously, look at the chat.
Yeah, that's it.
Definitely a Warframe.
I'm not even going to say what this does. It's a microphone. It is a microphone that is put directly on the mouth.
It's a un-microphone.
But it has to act like one because it's really,
it's
really
like a
dumb.
Microphone and a fleshlight had a baby.
Sorry. I was about to say, you're saying you don't put a microphone in your flesh.
wait, no, that's the opposite of how fleshlights work.
Oh my god. Yeah. So I just needed to share that with you on the call.
What's the use case? I don't understand.
Okay, yeah. I'll say what it is, because I triple checked this to make sure it wasn't just a joke.
A gag.
Yeah.
Even though it's literally a gag. Yeah.
it's a Bluetooth microphone that is meant specifically for people who like work in open offices or otherwise need to talk but don't want to disturb people around them. So it is like a sound dampening, you know, device thing that happens to have a Bluetooth microphone in it. But as you're speaking, what you're saying, the sound waves from your mouth don't go into the air. They go into the box where your secrets are kept. It's so people don't hear your secrets.
It's so disturbing.
It's like, do they realize that throat microphones exist?
I mean, the assumption of this product is like people do not have private spaces anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
I mean, that is the goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, for sure. Or even just at work, like, you know, just the it was like pulling fingernails to get the
guys. I looked up. So the big claim is like it's negative 20 decibels that it pulls out.
Wait, negative 20 decibels. So it like absorbs sound.
Well, lessens the sound by 20 decibels. But 20 decibels is roughly equivalent to whispering from 5 feet away.
So,
like, this does virtually nothing.
There's nothing distracting about sitting at a big, long table, elbow to elbow, with a bunch of people. And all of them is just a chorus, each of them wearing this upsetting looking thing. And it is just...
No, this is the next werewolf, right? This is the next Among Us or Real Ultimate Werewolf. You all sit around a table, you have your mouths covered, and someone says like a horrible racist thing, and you have to try to figure out which was the one who said it, but you can't tell. It only comes through the headphones.
I mean, that just sounds like voice chat in any first-person shooter.
Yeah.
I will say, if everyone's wearing these, this allows for clackety keyboards, so I'm kind of on board for that. But
yeah, I can tell the story of how my team dealt with the open offices at one point.
No.
So most open offices also have, you know, meeting rooms. And, you know, they'll have a sign up front with like a QR code so you can like scan and then like go to schedule the meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
So what we just did is printed out a sign that said, like, you know, Team 7 office, and put it over top of that sign and just unilaterally claimed the office.
I'm surprised that worked.
A tech queue of the lowest caliber.
So that's my story in lieu of any personal story. I saw that today.
See,
and it
that
was
could
real.
Have been your end boss. You
no,
missed
I had
it.
A. I had a thing I was actually excited about for the end boss. So
you're not excited about this?
No.
I don't want to follow this with anything. I just this is what the opener is about. That's
okay.
Yeah. I don't have anything, and I didn't bring anything.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean. Okay, I mean,
there's nothing to be sorry about. You. This is good enough to cover everyone's bases.
Yeah. All right.
Also, I feel like that name. Just
we're not saying the name again.
if this needs to be cut, it needs to be cut. But the company that's making it, the name is Shiftall, and I definitely read that shitfall.
I don't think this is an organization that thinks things through very much. Yeah. This isn't an ad. Don't buy this thing. Dystopian is the right word for it.
Oh my God.
Don't buy this thing for its intended use. If you buy this thing, buy it for recreational use.
Yeah. If you're using it for kink reasons or to get real high somehow, mm-hmm. You know what? Go with God. I'll be there waving a big foam finger, screaming, "You're number one." Anything else? No. Cool. Well, it sounds like we got to get to the regular kind of show, what with the grind, the multiplayer, and the unboss, and we can get started with
the grind.
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. I'll ask who has something new.
So I know, well, I have something new that is going to be a tag team with Dennis, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll let you two go first. Yeah.
Is this right? Is this the one I posted in the Slack about? Maybe not. So my you lead in. I'll jump off of yours.
Oh no. I was going with your like favorite game that you've talked about for the last 3 weeks. So
playing DMZ. Okay, yeah, let's go with that. Start there.
Yeah, so I started DMZ. I was corrupted by Dennis's Dennis's conniving
optimism.
The wholesomeness was irresistible.
Oh, you guys have no idea. I'm remembering the story that you're going to tell now, Dave.
Yeah. So
was it all a lie?
No, surprisingly. So there we were, you know, trying to get to the other side of the map. We had decided for some reason just to do a two-person squad, just Dennis and I. And we hop in an armored car and just, you know, speeding down these streets, dodging gunfire, when we see a player in front of us just standing in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, we both play pretty PvE oriented, we don't really go after players, that sort of thing. But that sort of scenario is, if a player is doing that, usually it means they've got something planned.
It was too much of a layup to just, he's like, so it was a softball to run him over.
It's a classic ploy. Mm-hmm. Like if this was any kind of, movie situation, it'd be like, oh no, please stop. My friend is sick. He needs medicine.
Yeah.
And then they would, exactly. And then they would ambush you. Yeah.
And so Dennis just guns it. And this person, rather than, say shooting us or, revealing that he had planted some C4 on the street beforehand, or, doing what the rational person might do and try to get out of the way, proceeds to simply jump onto the hood of the car. And Dennis, you take it from here.
I don't know how the collision didn't kick in to, like, kill him, because, like, the car was going full speed. He jumps, lands perfectly on the hood in a way that doesn't get him killed. And then there's this really awkward moment where I'm sitting behind the wheel staring at him. He's looking down staring at me.
Eyeball to eyeball.
Eyeball to eyeball. And it's like, this is awkward.
And then he slams on the windshield and says, Mista, Mista, get me out of here. Like in Happy Gilmore.
I basically, like, and I think at that point I realized what was going on. I was like, wait. Like, I had a quest at that point to invite people to our squad. And that's actually, like, built into the game. So I was like, I know I just tried to kill you, but want to join my squad? Yeah.
And he was like, totally sure.
You know, grace is such an underrated virtue. To just to be able to just let that water flow right under that bridge.
Proceed to have the most nonsensical match, because how long what's the maximum a match can last?
I think it's a half hour, because it's 20 minutes and then 10 minutes while the radiation spreads,
and we actually got out before the radiation, so at most 20 minutes, and I think we were like, say, 10 minutes in at this point. So okay. The rest of our adventure was about 10 minutes where we completed, I think, one or two objectives, mm-hmm. ended up driving back and forth across the map.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, this was the best part. So when he joined the squad, the invite goes out to everyone in the area. He joined our squad. We drive off. And he didn't see fit to mention he had a buddy who also joined our squad. Nobody noticed.
So you just abandoned your homie.
until he died. And when a character, and I guess he didn't have a mic or didn't feel like saying anything or was just like super chill. But when you have a teammate go down, then all of a sudden an icon pops up saying like, hey, you need to revive this guy. And so we're like, well, that would have been nice to know to start. And so, yeah, we probably got like, I don't know, 600 meters away and had to book it back to bring this guy back alive.
Yeah. And then he runs, this other guy runs around us for a second and we're like, all right, we're pushing our luck because we've had a great run despite everything being crazy.
Right.
And so we're like, all right, we need to go for extraction. And the guy, like, again, didn't come across like not a team player, just came across as like just kind of chill doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he instead, just didn't really come with us. Instead, starts a capture on a surface to air missile system.
You might need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which,
yeah, why not?
Which basically like summons a whole bunch of, really tough enemies. But by that point, like we had already started to leave again, like we were a ways away, and was like, we can't do this, like,
yeah.
We've got to go. But so we call in the extraction helicopter and are like about to fly away, and somehow we get the notification, oh, your team successfully captured this missile system.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. So and again, you know, as we're flying away, the random guy we almost hit, you know, tells us, you know, hey, you know, had a great time. This was awesome. You know, thanks for grouping up with me. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. The other adventure we had before this was, you know, doing just the random pickup group where they fill, you know, assign someone for your third slot.
Mm-hmm.
And got this person that, I don't know, maybe I'm being like voicist or whatever, but like, I think was probably about like 12 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say 11. I think we had it pegged.
Yeah. And apparently had never actually played the game before. Like, sound like had played Call of Duty before, but had not played DMZ before. And it was, again, another one of these things where I think the best way to describe this is like playing Call of Duty with your dog in the best way possible. Because yeah. He's just like, oh, I've got a sniper rifle. That's my favorite weapon.
Oh, hey, look, I mean, this
there's a guy. Yeah. I'm going to fight him in melee range. Oh, guys, he got away. I got a shotgun. Shotgun's my favorite weapon.
Hey, man.
And so, like, it was one of those things where, like, if that happened every game, it would be super annoying. But, like, happening once, it was actually really, really funny.
Yeah.
Major Golden Retriever vibes.
Right. And we, again, actually managed to somehow, like, raid one of the, what do they call it? Like, restricted areas or whatever?
There's denied areas and there's strongholds. So it was
right.
One of those.
I think we did both, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so like we did some of the, you know, more dangerous content and that sort of thing. So it was also funny that just, you know, not only all that, but like his first run was just ludicrously successful.
Oh yeah. And I think the thing that we're not capturing is like there was a person going down, you know, every couple of minutes. Like it was completely hectic, swarmed by AI the entire time, but everyone just having a blast.
Oh yeah.
So peak DMZ. So yeah, I hope you're sold. I'm guessing you'll be back at some point.
Yes. Oh, definitely. I've been doing this one of those things like I'm going to talk about some of the negative stuff, but like that pales in comparison to like the awesome stuff. But I've, you know, when I'm not playing with you, I'm usually doing solo or pickup groups.
Okay.
And that is where you can start to see some of the reasons people complain. Just because like the AI in this game is just incredibly, incredibly inconsistent. Mm-hmm. In terms of like alternating between, you know, there's instances where it's programmed to try to act like a person. So like, you know, there's things where just, you know, the AI is currently, you know, not paying attention. So you'll just like run across a alleyway and the AI just won't notice, or you know things like that. Where and at least to me, in these instances, it comes across very planned. It doesn't come across as bugs. Comes across as, you know, they're trying to, whatever. But on the other hand, there's other instances where the AI will just like snipe you out of a vehicle from across the map.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The other thing, and again, most of the time this is actually more funny than anything, but is sometimes a little frustrating, is the game kind of operates under that whole, like, I feel like everyone had the middle school teacher that was like, if you're on a team, it's like, well, if one person does something bad, you're a team, so you all get punished, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, if one person decides they're just going to start kicking hornets' nests and like doing a ton of, you know, killing other players or something like that, all of a sudden everyone on the team will get like a bounty placed on them. Which again, like most of the time, it's actually pretty funny when you're like just trying to do your thing, and all of a sudden, like, every elite player on the server is after you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes it's like, really, man? Like,
okay.
Why?
There's like a weird hitchhiking pattern with like grouping up with people, it seems like, where it's like you don't really know what you're getting into. But that kind of sounds fun.
Yeah, I explained it to someone as I feel that Call of Duty DMZ is the greatest anime game I've ever played, by which I mean it perfectly captures the like anime thing where theoretically you're a team of like super professional operators, but in practice, like, half your team is comic relief and the other half is like moody rage monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually, I thought you were going to say is that it's all about the power of friendship.
Oh, I mean, that's also true. And I know I keep going like, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, but this is, as much as I'm a little mixed on some of the, like, there is a lot of microtransactions and stuff you can do, I do have to at least appreciate the degree to which, like, they have no fucks given in terms of what type of, you know, outfits and stuff like that they're selling. Mm. The anime thing reminded me because one of the packs gives you a pair of weapons that are in like this, you know, anime print all over them that are called the waifu and the husbando. Which is just, I don't know, to me that is very funny. I just love the fact that there's, you know, super tactical operators, whatever, you know, running around in like vaporwave outfits and, you know,
I gotta make it home
stuff.
To my waifu.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like a ridiculous mess.
Oh, it is, both for better and for worse. So that is all I've got this week, actually.
Okay.
What nice. Does Dennis have besides attempted murder?
Yeah.
Please, vehicular manslaughter.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, the big new one I posted about yesterday, Disco Elysium was on sale.
Oh boy.
So I just have my toe in it, but my God, does this game just drip with personality? And like, I cannot wait to get back into this world and just kind of meander around it. It is so, so good.
Watch out though. If you leave your toe in it too long, it'll, you know, take over your mind palace. And
yeah.
How far did you get and what's your build?
So I'm the sensitive, as my Zencaster name would imply. And so it's all like the relational skills and kind of more creative side stuff. And then I'm low on intelligence, I think, is like the dump stat.
Hmm.
But yeah, first off, I like, you know, you guys have talked about the game a little bit, and I think kudos for being sufficiently cagey about it, because I think I've come in very, very fresh, and kind of like everything is very new, and I don't know any big spoilers, so you know, that is cool that I was able to make it that long enough to actually start playing it that way. But yeah, the idea of what's going on with all the skill sets and them being basically all the different voices in your head or ways you can think about something is really, really cool. And so, you know, you've got four broad categories of skills as your character, but then there's specific things like your volition or your rhetoric or you know, your composure. And these are all just kind of they'll show up as voices in your head. Too low, and you know, you don't pass any checks with them, right? Like you can't really use that skill. But you guys can tell me if I have this wrong or not. Too high, and like they start being intrusive thoughts almost.
Yeah.
Like they'll show up in your thoughts or in conversation, showing that it passed a check to show up there when you didn't necessarily ask that thought to be there, you know? And that's just like such a cool idea. Like just the convention that this game seems to be built around is just super unique. I can't think of anything else that I've seen like that.
And the way that each of them, because they are just single traits, they are monomaniacal, but also, you know, any one of them could be, you know, like there's no like necessarily like value associated with it, right? But it just because they're all obsessive little weirdos, there's a certain menace to each of them.
Yeah.
Until you figure out what your relationship ought to be.
I think it's a C.S. Lewis quote that every sin is something good taken out of proportion. And that's exactly what it is. You know, like it's not bad to have empathy, but suddenly you're, you know, bleeding heart towards every single person around you or imagining them to be more responsive than they are. And that becomes a problem and so on and so forth. So like it's just really, really cool. And I can't wait to play it. I haven't done any leveling up yet. I guess I'm too early for that, but just the way it's functioned in conversation so far has been really impressive. I kind of started feeling out like, all right, is this a game that's going to fuck me if I choose the wrong dialogue choice? And I think I've kind of since sussed out that like, no, I can be comfortable saying a crazy thing here or there, or, you know, pursuing something that amuses me that maybe is a little bit counter to my goals. And trust that the game is not going to completely throw me under the bus for it. Is that an accurate read, or like, do I need to watch my step a little more?
I mean, pay attention, because if you say something intentionally to piss somebody off, they will, probably not be very responsive to you. It'll usually be pretty clear. However, this is a game that is very humane about letting you fail forward.
Yeah, I did get to tell a racist to fuck off. That was fun.
Yeah.
And the next time I talked to him, they did a reference that they're like, oh, you're back to tell me to fuck off again, huh? But I can still talk to him. So,
but if you go in with him, he gives you a way to proceed. So if you make the horrible mistake of, you know, just asking Measurehead to read off, you know, I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter that provides a way forward for you if you can live with it.
You could read all of the responses like hyper sarcastic. So like at one point it was like, tell him to go fuck himself, or be like, yeah, I can get down with racism. And it's like, but I could read that as like, oh yeah, I can get down with racism. Like, yeah, it just really mocking this guy. So you kind of make your own out of your choices, make your own kind of meaning out of the choices.
Something that will start to come up as you give responses and it is observing you. One of the things that comes out of this is it determining what kind of cop you are, and you'll get like thought cabinet entries to consider about these, and there will be stat ups and stat downs about it. But there are different like just overall postures that you can that you can take, and it will reward that statistically.
Yeah, I'm very much playing it as the head in the clouds, ask crazy out there questions, and kind of already detached from reality approach. So we'll see where that leads. I guess this will be kind of minor spoiler. It's the very first scene in the game.
Yeah,
like you wake up in a room. So I'm pulling from that. It's moments into the game, so I don't feel too bad. But the absolutely amazing thing, you talk about all these stat ups and stat downs, like the clothes you wear has little impacts and stuff like that. And you wake up just with a terrible hangover and surrounded by bottles, and you can't remember anything. You're trying to gather your clothes. Your tie is hanging from the ceiling fan somehow. And I'm trying to grab it down. So I fail the check. And I'm like, I can turn off the fan. I can turn off the fan and try to grab the tie. All right, let's try that. Fail the check. Okay. And then I look at my clothes, and the pants that I'm wearing have a negative one to the skill, to the savoir-faire, because they're too tight. So I proceed to take off my pants. to try to better get the time. And it's like, I can totally see this waking up just like still drunk slash head, you know, completely exploded and being like, carries the tie. This pants hold me back. You know, the pants. Like, I've been there, man. I relate. And it's like, I'll almost leave the apartment, but it didn't put the pants back on. Okay, hold on.
Just get back in pants. Count yourself lucky that you didn't die.
Yeah.
Well, that's pants are optional.
I am not being sarcastic. It's possible to die.
it warned. I think it was like a third try. you could die, something like that. So my tie is still on the thing. I was just like, fuck it, not worth it.
Can I give you a tip?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go back and get it.
Yeah, well, I'll come back to it. I just was like, in that moment,
yeah.
I need to not die, I guess, is the idea.
Yeah. You and the hideous tie. There's a relationship there.
Well, it did, like, the class that I chose, the sensitive, my like key skill is Inland Empire. And you get like one trait or skill that's higher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like basically, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. You're Inland Empire. You get like creative imagining of the world around you. And it's like, yeah, someone with really high Inland Empire, your clothes are going to talk to you.
Yes.
Like, All right.
It's Inland Empire. So it's named after a David Lynch movie that is especially out there. Cool. It's not actually supposed to like correspond to anything other than that particular kind of tone and dreaminess. But like, I forget what I said in the WAPIS episode about it, but it's like a imagine a force that was unchecked intuition, completely divorced from reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it communicates entirely through poetry is the wrong word, but it communicates entirely through imagery. And that also was, I fucking love the Inland Empire dialogue so much so that, Jack Chicken Riggies, super fan Jack, sent me I think he got it on Etsy. It's like sculpted out of clay, like little plate 3D, you know, version of the Inland Empire logo.
With
the big like inverted kind of spherical bowl head kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right above my coffee pot.
That's nice. Amazing. Yeah, yeah. I'm leaning hard into that kind of approach to things.
Yeah.
Which is funny, it's like the meaner someone is to me, the more I feel I need to be buttoned up around them and like mm-hmm. try to give straight answers. The nicer someone is to me, the more crazy I'm comfortable being to them. Yeah. So there's a poor little old lady that I've completely freaked out.
She's a cryptozoologist. She's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's they kind of just slide that into her title card there. Yeah. So this game, is just dripping with character. It feels like, I mean, even though you're dealing with like a murder, and someone kind of going crazy, it feels remarkably cozy to play.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, it's weird that you just like, I could see myself snuggling. We have a snow day tomorrow, right? Cause the winter deaden is coming or whatever. And I'm like, dude, if I could just cuddle up under a blanket and play some Disco Elysium, I would be the happiest man in the world.
I mean, it is a game about a community. Like mm-hmm. that factors in and is important.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it's really just first impressions. Like I said, probably 90 minutes in, something like that. But man, I'm glad I followed up on all the direction to check out this game and we'll update you as I go along.
It's, if only I could play it again for the first time.
Yeah. You can do it, through me, right? You can, mm-hmm. What's that word?
Vicariously.
Thank you. I was going to say voyeuristically, and that's not right.
Yeah. It's a different valence than I would shoot for, but yeah.
Dennis didn't put any numbers into his word finding stat.
Yeah. Would that be encyclopedia or would that be conceptualization?
Encyclopedia.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, Encyclopedia is such an unbearable little nerd.
I have, that's my worst skill. So I don't hear from him very much.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so that's Disco Elysium. The one other thing, not much to say about it, but I started playing, the Halo Infinite campaign co-op with a buddy.
Cool.
You know, we like before Halo Infinite came out, we were like, oh, we should do the co-op campaign together. And then, you know, Halo Infinite was just kind of a cluster for so long, that we finally got around to it. And I'll check in just to say, like, that is the right way to play Halo. It allows you to
take... You mean putting it off?
Yes. And then playing it co-op. Even though you can't do couch co-op, which is a crime. But just, I don't know, you know, having another player there for the story lets you take it as silly as it should be taken, you know? Like, I feel like there's so much melodrama and, you know, weird names and places of ancient civilizations that it's just like, I don't know, it feels so tonally heavy. And self-serious, that you know, just having another person there to mock the cutscenes while you're watching them makes the ride a lot more fun. And the, you know, the gunplay is incredibly solid to boot. So not much to say about it. You know, I tried the campaign up to a point, and before I decided, like, yeah, I should do it co-op. And I have not. I've, you know, we're covering old ground essentially still. But much more enjoyable with a buddy.
Yeah. Grapple with friends.
Grapple with friends. yeah. And that's me.
Cool. I've got one. And it's a new one. A game that I've been looking forward to for a while just entered early access, and I played it for a few hours the other day. It is called Definitely Not Fried Chicken. So,
I mean, that's a little sus.
I talked about this. This was a news story a while back. This was announced, and it's been, you know, information's been coming out about it, dribs and drabs. But the kind of elevator pitch for this is it is a tycoon game. It is like it is a business sim, but you are effectively the Breaking Bad character Gustavo Fring. Running a front business and your illicit business at the same time.
All right, that's pretty great.
Yeah. And it's early access, and I don't know if I would recommend getting it like just yet. There are some rough edges, you know, things like, you know, oh, I tried like overwriting like a, you know, a space as I was like designing the factory that I was working on. I tried overwriting with a different kind of tile, and then it didn't work. And my guys starved to death because their break room wasn't, you know, signaled as their break room or what have you.
Oh, so no. it's the Amazon approach.
Yeah. Yeah. not intentionally.
oh, no. Yeah. No. I mean, I totally understand. Not intentionally.
Wink. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so it takes place in like in a town, like you're in a few city blocks, and you get like the tutorial is teaching you to build, like you're hired by this fast food fried chicken chain to go in and, you know, basically rebuild a restaurant that had gone dilapidated. That's teaching you to build. And then the guy says, oh, this place could practically run itself. And now actually it can. So you're fired. And the money that you have, you're contacted by a lawyer who says, hey, we can turn this into something. So you buy a laundromat to act as a front and a plot of land to build your little factory to start growing wheat. Okay. And you basically you hire people. You need to design their schedule and give them tasks. You need to lay things out in both the factory and the front business. in order to make sure you keep customers coming in.
Is there an element of like hiring the person for the restaurant and then discerning if they're cool and can be brought into the back?
Not that I've seen. No, okay. I think everybody's in on it, because part of having the front is you have to establish. And this is neat. I misunderstood the system, but you have you've also got to manage like the logistics and how stuff moves around. So like you build like a garage, basically like a loading dock. At your factory where the stuff is loaded up, and you have people, you're like, your initial one is like people on mopeds basically running the supply line to keep the front business stocked up. Okay. Where people go in and buy the product, while also you can like manage distribution and dispatch for people who call in on a hotline to get product to them as well. You know, so like you're going in and saying like, okay, focus on this person right here because their shipment's not done yet. And then also keep your supply line up while also your research is done. There are local businesses where if you give them free product, you get points toward, towards research to unlock new stuff. So like by giving enough free weed to the university, you like unlock the ability to like develop better grow lights and stuff like that.
Can you get that by just giving free chicken nuggets to anyone?
Not that I know of. There's no mechanism to deliver the chicken nuggets. Also, I haven't opened the chicken shop yet. In fact, the person who fired me has started sending goons after me. One of my earliest setbacks was get a little on-screen message from basically Colonel Sanders, who says, so you're selling dope now, huh? Well, we're going to see about that. And then he sent over a bunch of people in chicken suits with shotguns and bats with nails in them to completely destroy my factory.
I was going to ask, it looks like this game goes Hotline Miami in places.
Yeah. So there is there's a heat element to it. So as you get not heat like the movie, but like literally like, like Criminal Heat. And, you know, there are competitors and there are police, and part of like building your factory and having your logistics, like your hiring gap, you want to have a guard around. I'm not sure what my one guard with his little knife would have done with, again, three grown men in chicken suits with shotguns, submachine guns and bats. They wiped out my entire factory and I had to like. You know, I had no money, so I had to rely on the legitimate business, rely on the money coming in from the laundromat so I could hire.
I mean, that's low.
Sounds pretty risky.
Yeah. to hire an engineer to come in and fix everything up, hire a cleaner to come in. And then get staffed back up with people to get my chain going again.
You need in this game to be able to open like a mini front that's a banana stand and have it like separate, so that if you get your main spot burnt to the ground, there's always money in the banana stand.
True. I would be surprised if there wasn't something referencing that in here,
because
it's a real goofy game.
See, I feel like though it's kind of genius if you think about it, because like what is something that that people on pot are going to want is definitely fried chicken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean it's what they call it, synergy.
Yep, it's vertical integration. Yeah,
yep.
So like I said, you are managing multiple things. So as you gain money, you can buy more plots of land and you can buy licenses to run different kinds of business. So this is
because you won't want to do something illegal.
Right. I've not played a tycoon game where you had control over like an entire city block, and like the simulation moves a little bit more slowly and is more granular than a lot of other kind of sim games like this, partially because like it is made so you can be hopping around to these different businesses and getting them up and going. And, you know, setting them to kind of run themselves until you come back around to kind of address problems and help them expand, with money that you have in order to kind of like work toward your next goals. It's a really neat idea that is just held back by some like early access blues and by a little bit of like, let's say, like inelegant interface and tutorialization. But that's all stuff that can be like ironed out.
So can you kind of turn the corner, break bad, if you will, and, become the person who's, sending out goons to kill people?
I hope so. Maybe.
What kind of animal suit will you put them in?
I mean, it depends on what kind of business I have. There's one for a lobster. I think a lobster would be good. Got the claw, got the head off.
It's pretty good. I like that.
I mean, all creatures eventually evolve into lobsters.
It's crabs. It's carcinization. one of the first things it has you do when you fire up the restaurant, because each of the products that you have, specifically in like the drugs, but even in the from businesses, there's like a whole production chain of steps that need to go. So this is, and it's a little bit Dwarf Fortress-y in terms of you are assigning people not to, like, you're not directing them around like they're Sims, but you select which tasks they're assigned to, and then you can assign them to room groups and stuff like that. The pot production, and I've not gotten to the meth, I think they're going to add cocaine later on as well. there are so many steps involved, and each of them has their own set of stars that are added in to determine the overall quality. And obviously selling better stuff, it gets you more money. But just for the pot, thinking of the requirements, you need the actual planter, you need the grow light, you need the drying rack, you need the cutting station, and then for shipping, you need the boxing station and the storage to hold overflow so that you don't get a big bottleneck going as the shipments go out too slowly.
Have you found a way to make pot nerdy?
God, yeah.
It sounds like they have in the game.
Yeah. They built it in. It is a lot to manage. Like, okay, when I was getting back up, I was like, all right, I need to figure out how to do this with one person. And then when I got enough money to hire somebody else, I was like, all right, what is the best set of tasks to allocate to these two? Like, what is more time consuming and requires like this amount of overlap between them to where we can like get rid of these bottlenecks? It's great because it is all about these logistical kind of things.
I'm curious when you get to meth or cocaine, if you can sample your own product to increase productivity or not.
To start slipping it into the employee. Well, you do set up the break room and you do give them snacks and stuff. Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to get them addicted. I just don't want to. I just don't want them to start stealing.
They're gonna start stealing.
Well, and Breaking Bad, Gus doesn't tolerate the employees using. But it's real neat. I kind of want to. So I really screwed up my first run, just trying to figure stuff out. I really want to go in and play more. This is something that is, I think, I'll probably put a few more hours into it and see if I can get a good run going, and then probably put it down and wait for a big update in early access. But I'm really happy with the way that it kind of came through, jank and all.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely not fried chicken.
Definitely not doing research for a business in Mansfield, right?
Nope. Oh, man. Ben, round us out.
Yeah, I just got one old, one new. I continued playing Grifflands from last week. That's the Slay the Spire filler type game, if you're looking for that type of game. I finally beat a run, and I think I mentioned this last week, where I was hoping that they had a mode where you could just do the card battle and kind of skip the narrative events. You unlock that after you beat a run, so they do have that. But even after that, so with like, you have three different characters you can play as. With one of them, I have like maybe 50% of the unlocks for it. But it's still just kind of like a meh game. Like, it's definitely not as good as Slay the Spire. And so it's tough kind of playing it, 'cause it's kind of like a watered down version of that. But I'll still probably jump in a couple of times and give it a try to see if it gets better. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had to say about Grifflands. Just minor progress in that. Yeah, I think I'll switch over and talk about the other one that I got. It is a newer game that I played. It's not a new game, but it's new to me. It is a game called Days Gone. Have you guys heard or played this?
Yeah, this was like kind of the was supposed to be the killer app for PlayStation 5, right?
Maybe
the killer app for PlayStation 4? How long has it been?
Yeah, it came out in 2019. I was recommended from a friend, and kind of one of the selling pitches of it is it's made by a company in Bend, Oregon, which is in the general PNW area. The game itself is set in the Pacific Northwest, so you kind of see things like Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier in the background if you have a good vantage point to look around. But it is a zombie survival game. It's kind of like it feels similar to like an Assassin's Creed type game where it's like there's just like a lot of chores you can go around and do. Essentially, it's an open world game.
Really sell us on this.
I mean, the graphics are pretty good. It kind of puts you in the middle of it. The story, I will not put that many compliments on. You play a generic bearded white dude with little no personality. The backstory and the character motivations don't make a whole lot of sense. That's not really why you're there, I don't think. But one of the defining characteristics of the main character is he's in a biker gang with his friend.
Is it just the two of them?
Well, in the opening cutscene, so spoilers for the opening of Days Gone, if you really want to play this 4-year-old game, is he puts his wife on a helicopter because he's going to stay behind with his biker bro. And yeah, his wife was put on a helicopter because she was shanked by a teenager in a hoodie who might have been turning into a zombie. Doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. Why didn't he just bite her if he was turning into a zombie? Doesn't make sense. Whatever. The narrative, again, is not really why you're there. The importance of him being a biker, though, is he has a bike that you traverse the environment with.
I mean, that does tend to go with it.
Yep. And that's kind of one of the interesting mechanics in the game is basically at any point in time, when you can run out of gas like pretty regularly, and so at any point in time you switch from being on bike to being on foot, and the game is technically playable for either one of those. It's just like when you're on foot, you're basically like, all right, what's the nearest place that I might be able to find gasoline at, pick up a can of gasoline, then hike it back to my bike and then fill that up and go. There's different camps littered throughout the open world that you can kind of do missions for and build up trust with. There's a crafting system for the bike where there's a mechanic where if you spend money, you can upgrade like the abilities of the bike and like how much durability it has.
Can you put like swords into the wheels that spin around? You can cut down zombies.
I have not seen that yet. So it does not go as crazy as Mad Max, even though it is pretty incoherent in terms of rationality, but, it's not the
fun. Can you defeat the zombie apocalypse by setting off Mount St. Helens to kill all the zombies?
A second time?
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't gotten that far. So I'll keep you updated on that if that's the case.
That would be a twist.
That's true. So some of the open world things you can do, there's sites where there's zombie nests. So you can go and burn them down with Molotovs. They have a crafting system kind of similar to The Last of Us in this, where you can pick up bottles and like bandages and like rags and stuff like that and make Molotovs out of them, or medical kits and stuff like that. That parts are all pretty well and good. There's like raider camps that you can invade and try and take out. There's like random pursuit missions of like crazy people on bikes you can chase down and try and kill. And I don't know, there could be more stuff than what I'm seeing too. There's in the main story branch, there's some weird stealth missions where for some reason you can't kill people because they have a hazmat suit on. That doesn't really make sense, but whatever.
Well, you do have that knife that is made out of poisonous gas.
Yep, yeah, that's true. So I don't know. It's interesting. They have this one mechanic where there's hordes of zombies, and I think they talked this up a bunch in the promotion of the game. It's not a tremendous amount of depth to it, other than there's just a shit ton of zombies. So you it's kind of like instant death if you get swarmed by it and you're not on your bike to get away. You can try and sprint away, and maybe that might work. There are some places like water towers or like cell phone towers and stuff like that that you can climb. And so that's a way to kind of escape the horde. But then you have this weird situation where you're like, all right, I'm literally going to keep the game on and sit down the controller and wait until night or the next day for them to lose interest and go away. Yeah. And so that's wow. like a weird gameplay mechanic. And I don't know if that's intended or not, but I don't know. It's unique, I guess.
It lines up with one of the things that was weirdest about the game at launch, which is like it has all the markings of being a live service kind of game while being single player, right?
I see.
Like the persistence stuff is tough to is tough to square with what ultimately ended up coming out, and also it was really confusing in the lead up about like, okay, like what kind of game is this, is the, you know, because mm-hmm. it was like alongside this rash of other looter shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I mean, didn't The Last of Us Part II come out? I guess maybe not that year, maybe it came out the year after, but it's like, it's interesting that those two are juxtaposed together, where they're both, you know, take place in the same part of the country and are zombie games, but are very, very different takes on that.
So if you ever want to play a game that uses a lot of the same horde physics type stuff, but actually does stuff with them, check out World War Z.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to awaken a thirst for horde-based gameplay mechanics or not. But yeah, I don't know. The only thing I would say that's unique about this is the setting's very unique. It's kind of like, I mean, it kind of feels like you're playing Firewatch mixed with the zombie game, and that's kind of cool, at least. Mm-hmm. But man, the narrative really doesn't land that much. Like there are a few cool moments where they try and do stuff that's akin to like The Road. Like for example, they have like random encounters as you're just driving on the road with people who might want to hurt you. And some of it's very overt and some of it isn't. Like for example, one of it is you're riding on your bike and there's a wire, like a tow wire across the road that like knocks you off your bike. And then as soon as you're getting up, you start seeing two people running towards you with weapons, like to attack you and stuff. And I was like, Oh wow, that's a really sick trap. And that's like really, fits in like the environment that they have, and like that's really cool. But yeah, so those moments are good, but then when you get to a cutscene, it's just like, oh yeah, I'm playing this guy again. But yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna keep playing it for a little bit and see if the story gets any better. The person who recommended it said that it is kind of slow to start and improves like as the game goes on. So I'll try and give it its fair shake, to see if it improves. But yeah.
So this is entirely not at all a fair criticism of it, but the thing that always sticks in my mind on this is one of the conservative idiots did some whole rant about how this game failed because people can't handle a strong white male protagonist or something.
That wasn't just a random guy. That was, I believe, the lead designer. It was one of the principals behind this who was trying.
Okay. I didn't realize it was a commentator. So it was the actual guy.
Wow. Yeah, he was trying to excuse, you know, why this game didn't set the world on fire. He was trying to blame it on wokeness. God, I fucking hate that word.
Okay, I take it back.
He might have even used the word wokeness, but it was real big. Like, oh, you sure, bud? You sure your controller was broken?
Yeah. Are you sure about that? I mean, to the game's credit, if there's like a part of the country where there's white supremacists on bicycles living in the woods, I mean, Pacific Northwest is a pretty good place to set that. But that said, I don't think anyone wants to necessarily play that experience. But
I feel like it's incidental to why it didn't. It came out into a really, really crowded market with very little identity.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying, like, it necessarily is like, oh, this game, you know, can't be anything else than that. I'm just, that's what I always think of.
It's a little embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, I don't know. It's a collection of some ideas that are better than others. But, yeah, there's not anything too wholly original in the game outside of the setting, I would say. So, and the fact that you're riding around on a bike. But that's about it.
So there's just are there sure any kind of special it. Zombie versions to deal with? Like any do they do anything interesting with zombies other than just having a lot of them?
I'm trying to think. There's two. There's like tiny scouts that you run into in the prologue, but not really in any other part of the game. And then there's just the either horde or one of a kind, but they're the same type of zombie. There could be special ones like later down the line. Oh, there is one mechanic that's kind of cool. Which is on some of the map, you go through tunnels. And that's kind of a really cool experience because basically if you're driving through a new tunnel, like there may or may not be a roadblock that you have to clear midway through driving. And it's dark. You only have the light of your motorcycle and like you can push a truck out of the way, but it takes time. So that actually creates for like a really cool kind of immersive and diegetic experience. But and it stays persistent. Like if you clear a tunnel, you can get through like subsequent times and you don't have to stop for it. But yeah. So there's a few cool things in it. But yeah, I mean, I can see why the game didn't really light the world on fire or anything. So
no.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, I think we need a more detailed rating system for games, not just for you know adult content, but for the kind of BS that you might have to put up with, or ways the game might you know cause you to burst into tears, or who knows what. So, if you could add a custom warning label to a game, which game would you choose, and what would the warning be?
I'll get us started. Naveen says, games that require you to take notes in real life need a warning. Rated H for homework. yes, they need a label so I can play them.
Sell it in a special bundle with a pen and notepad.
Yeah, real smooth paper. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody else giving me a pen, though. I pick my own pens. I'm very
fair.
Yeah,
fair enough.
David, what does Casey say?
Casey says, rated E for escort quests.
Ben, what does Peter say?
Peter says, rated RP for rent problems. Most likely going on any games that require a monthly subscription fee, and that's after buying the base game and the expansions. Could also be used for games that require you to get a battle pass to make sure that you keep getting new quote-unquote content.
Yeah, rent problems is good, although RP is already taken. Well, I guess rated E, too. E for escort quests.
Yeah.
This model is flawed.
rated H as well, but I'm not telling you what that means currently.
No. It's in development. It's going to rock your world.
If you know, you know.
Dennis, what does Greg say?
Greg says, any Bethesda game rated B for buggy as all fuck. Even after 10 years, Skyrim, I'm looking at you.
10 years, 10 releases. Am I right? High five, everybody.
Same thing.
Callum Ritz, rated A for addictive gameplay cycle. Rated A is already taken. Were we not clear? I don't think that was part of the rule. Yeah. I would call that rated H for hole. This is a hole you will fall into. David, what does Alex say?
Alex says, I'm sure I'll be able to name some specific games with a bit of thought, but a no writer on staff warning would be wonderful to set my expectations.
Yeah, or just a just a W for writing can't be that hard. Ben, what does Gwen say?
Gwen follows that up with, this game is written by David Cage. It should be a warning on a game.
Rated DC.
On the other hand, if there were games written by Nick Cage, Game of the Year material.
Has Nick Cage, does he have any video games to his credit? It feels like he would.
He maybe did a voice in something. I don't think, no. I think he's more of a comics guy.
Maybe the Ghost Rider video game that I'm assuming exists.
Yeah, I'm positive it does. That movie came out when they were still making games for superhero movies. Yeah.
Huh.
Dennis, what does Sean say?
Sean says, probably a clock symbol to represent the Persona games, as they're an absolute time sink to complete.
This would probably cause an awful lot of like bad incentives, but I would really love if there was a prominently displayed how long to beat. Just pull from that database. I believe even I think Microsoft, the Game Pass store, displays that information.
Board games do this pretty prominently. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that is a good, it's a good thing to know.
Yeah. The practice for board games is take that time and double it. Maybe triple it if you're learning the rules.
I think they're assuming like expert knowledge when they try and clock those.
I imagine except for some people, a lower number puts more butts in the seats.
Mm-hmm. Probably that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel says, rated PR-13 for pretty repetitive by 13 hours in. And or there are at least 13 hours left. And then also rated BG for bro guidance suggested by the Interfraternity Software Ratings Board. I do like bro guidance suggested, because we talk about that all the time with Sherpas, right? Somebody to you need your buddy to guide you through this.
Someone to tell you to get the tie, you know.
Yeah, somebody to tell you how to how to run in Dark Souls when you're trying to beat Ornstein and Smo. Dennis,
they're gonna write that on my tombstone.
I'm not gonna let them forget. Your family's gonna be devastated, but I will stand there and make sure it happens. Yeah,
it's a badge of honor. It was the original challenge run.
Mm-hmm. It was the challenge mosey
walk. Yeah.
David, what does Jeremy say?
Jeremy says, rated BH for body horror. Resident Evil 7 comes to mind instantly.
It's rated HH for hand harm.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, I had one for this, but I forgot what it was going to be. So I'm going to punt and say, David, what's yours?
So I've got two for games with excessively animu, it will be rated U for a woo.
Okay.
And I think I would love to see a rating of the multi-ocular O for biblically accurate angels.
it's rated B for be not afraid. I knew what mine was going to be. This is rated D for discourse. You play this and talk about it, you're going to get into annoying conversations.
Wait, isn't that kind of what our network does?
I mean, I hope we're not annoying conversations. I'm just talking about randos. We're friends. Ben, how about you?
Rated B for bloated. This is any AAA game that should be like 10 hours shorter than it is. I'm looking at God of War and I'm looking at Naughty Dog games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Dennis, how about you?
I think rated T for tearjerker. This game is going to punch you in the gut and leave you crying in your chair after you finish it.
It's rated DM for dude missed.
Yep.
good question. I like this. Thank you, everybody, for responding. It was pretty successful doing it in the DuckFeed group, so we'll keep doing that for a little, we've only tried it for 1 week. We'll see if it continues to be the case.
Keep being awesome. We'll keep showing up.
Yes. Yeah. But just do a search for DuckFeed Community on Facebook and join that. I will need to approve you, but that usually happens pretty quick, so do not get discouraged. And thank you, Dennis, for posting the question, and thank you, everybody, for answering.
Mm-hmm.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. I'm going to do mine because I'm pretty excited about it, actually. So the team behind SteamWorld, the SteamWorld games, SteamWorld Dig. Ooh. Yeah, SteamWorld Dig, SteamWorld Heist. any of those cool, like, I don't know, steampunk robots doing fun things games.
And they've all been in completely different genres.
Except for SteamWorld. I mean, I guess SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Dig 2 are very different genres as well.
Yeah, but then when, like, it's like, you know, Terraria-like to Slay the Spire-like to turn-based action.
Yeah, it's like a Metroidvania kind of thing.
Yeah. Once,
and Dig 2 had some weird, like, fairly intense survival horror settings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a cool studio who makes cool things. And I'm very excited because this next one is right up my alley. This past week, they held an event and they announced that supposed to be later this year, they're going to be putting out SteamWorld Build, which is a SteamWorld city building simulator above the surface. And below the surface, it is SteamWorld Dungeon Keeper. Harkening back to the old Bullfrog Dungeon Keeper games. This looks like it's going to rule, and I cannot wait to play it.
When I hear dungeon in the basement, this is not what I was expecting.
Why is everybody wearing this weird muzzle microphone? So,
all right, show's over, guys.
So that's my story. This is just a thing exists, and Cole is really excited about it. So,
but how long until we get to play this?
It says 2013, or it says 2013. It's been out for 10 years. They just found the code. No, 2023. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
I like that they do like completely different games for each one. And then I have this like pessimistic undervoice in me that's saying, like, man, I wonder if their code base is just like so fucked with every game that they're just like, well, we got to burn it all down and start fresh.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Speaking of finding the code.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So Riot announced that their source code for both League of Legends and Teamfight Tactics was stolen and held for ransom, which, you know, is crazy. I don't know how that breach happened. They've been very vocal on two fronts. One, they're not paying these people shit. So, you know.
So they treat them like their employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then two, that no personal data of users was stolen. So this is exclusively game code and nothing to do with accounts. Yeah. So just interesting that a hack of that magnitude would happen. And then also, I think this represents a growing trend of people just not, you know, capitulating to ransomware attacks.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, there's enough savvy around backing up or keeping your code in multiple places, etc., that this is ceasing to be effective. That said, expect a steady stream of leaks, you know, about what was in the source code, because apparently it contained some experimental new features that had not been deployed yet. And so Riot's kind of cautioning, like, hey, you might see some stuff that either you hate or are excited for, and that, you know, is not officially in the game. It was experimental for a reason, and we didn't really expect people to see it yet.
I'm sure gamers will keep it in perspective.
Yeah, no, that'll be cool. Oh, man. But, yeah, so it interesting to see this happening, and interesting to see, like, maybe the era of ransomware is coming to an end, at least on a corporate level, to steal from people who are big enough to have their shit together.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they have their shit together, you know,
because if it comes out in a week, like, oops, actually they did steal all the player profiles, like that'll be another thing.
Yeah. Huh. Well, fingers crossed that they're telling the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ben, what's happened? Any new releases on Stadia?
Yeah, so I was just going to talk about this. So it's, I don't know if we mentioned it back in September or not, but Stadia turned off like their service this past week. They've refunded, I guess, all the purchases that were made on it to players. And they announced this back in September they were going to do this, but this was the week that it finally happened. The story I brought in particular was talking about what games that were exclusive on the Stadia are doing about it. So in particular, there's one game, I know we talked about it like a long ass time ago, but it's called Gylt, I think is how you pronounce it. It's G-Y-L-T. Hmm. But they announced that they're going to ship to other platforms soon. So they're in that process now. I read a different article that was talking about other games that were like multiplayer games that were exclusive to Stadia are just like giving up and are just like, oh, it was a good run. We're going to work on other stuff, but we're calling it.
Again, the burn down the code before they find out.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see those types of migrations happening right now. I mean, I guess I don't, you know, since I didn't have it, I don't know to what extent they're refunding things. Because I'm, you know, it's like certain things, like if you buy a battle pass, like you're paying for like the experience of having it. So it's like, I don't know if you'd refund that, but refunding the purchase of the game, sure. So that's kind of a weird territory that I'm glad I don't have to deal with that on any front. But I mean, good that they're refunding people and not just like rug pulling, since that's a common thing, I guess, in today's society. But yeah, I don't know. Shrug.
I mean, something about this transition is like there are, it seems like other platform holders are actually being pretty cool about helping publishers honor previous purchases on their, you know, on their storefront. Like Ubisoft was in, you know, leaned in heavily on Stadia. And they have their own storefront. So obviously they're cool. They can just, you know, get that stuff out. But like even, oh gosh, West of Loathing. They were able to get people codes to play it on a different service. I forget which one. Like I've seen a few developers say like, hey, here's where this stuff can land. This sucks. Have fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This sucks. Have fun. That's what I say before every multiplayer game. So yeah.
I failed everybody because Dennis had a story about data security, and then David's story also is about data security in a different fashion, and I didn't segue between them. I botched the transition, so I'm gonna take some time.
You're like the segue CEO, dude.
Man, I really hope that the Stadia shutdown doesn't lead to any data security problems.
So there is a YouTuber whose whole thing is kind of like Twitch plays Pokemon, except that it's his goldfish play, or well, his aquarium full of fish play Pokemon. What? Which, if you think about it, is kind of like Pokemon plays Pokemon.
Yes.
But basically, the bottom of, you know, it's got a glass bottom to the fish tank, and laid under it is, you know, a grid with the various you know, buttons marked out on it, and a computer program analyzes the feed, and whichever button the fish are hanging out over, that's what buttons gets pressed. So the thing is, this isn't like a, oh, if the fish do good, you know, they get a treat or something.
Yeah, so, that would be unethical.
Right. So it's literally just random button presses. So the first awesome thing from this article is apparently by pressing literally random buttons, the fish were able to beat Pokemon, so I'm looking up which one. I don't know, one of the Pokemon games in 3,000 hours. Pokemon Sapphire in 3,000 hours.
Damn.
Which is a lot more than the approximately 30 hours it takes a person. But, I mean, still, for random input, that's kind of crazy.
Right. Yeah. Monkeys on typewriters here doing pretty well.
Exactly. The only problem is that every so often, you know, maybe the switch loses power or something and restarts. And in a recent instance when that happened, the random button presses of the fish proceeded to go to the in-game store where the user, you know, had their credit card information pre-populated and start buying things.
Running up in a panic. Boss, I gotta leave work. Why?
Uh,
I have diarrhea.
I shit myself.
So luckily they only spent 500 yen, which is about $3.50 US. But still pretty funny.
So I want to go backwards to a comment that was made earlier that if there was like some kind of machine rigged up that like dropped some food in every time they caught a Pokemon or something like that, would do you think these fish would actually eventually learn?
Oh, no.
Fish are smarter than we think, but like all that would tell them is, hey, holding up is good, and then they would just hold up. They don't get any feedback about what's happening on the screen. Yeah.
You need to put them in front of the TV, and then maybe that'll change
things. I want to do a name check reference. There's a YouTuber called Michael Reeves that made a goldfish tank to buy stuff on the stock market and then compared that to actual traders, and it did better than them.
Yeah. So.
This idea has been thought of. You should check it out.
Also, and I cannot take credit for this. It's literally in the title of this article, but they refer to what happened as a phishing scam.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
It's really good. I like this a lot. Mm-hmm. This is a fun story and a good way to end the night, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The credit. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to level number 444. It is the last time that all three digits of the number are going to line up for 1,000 episodes.
Wait,
so everybody should celebrate that while we celebrate you listening and having a good time and celebrate you possibly leaving a rating or review and telling your friends, or going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, or going to the Duckfeed community Facebook channel or group, community, whatever it is.
The Duckfeed channel community group community.
Whatever it is. Yes. Yep. The last part's important. and participating in the multiplayer. Is there anything that I'm forgetting?
Just how these sequential numbers work.
Well, I don't believe you. So,
also, happy year of the bunny.
Oh, yeah. Happy Lunar New Year, those who celebrate. Mm-hmm. Year of the bunny. Oh, wait, I was born in, I think I'm a rabbit. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think so. I don't know what that means.
It's your year.
I do not know for sure if it is good when your year comes back around. I really don't. And I'm scared.
I mean, episode 444 is like one of the most unluckiest numbers. So, but we did death, okay. So.
It means death three times.
Yeah. funny, just a completely random aside. That was technically from DMZ. So I'll allow it. Is, you know, David and I.
you're the authority here, I guess.
we're playing DMZ and I think it came up like, oh, yes, you're the bunny. And I just, you know, we were doing something else. I wasn't thinking. I was like, so yeah, what does that like represent anything? Like, what's the personality of you're the bunny? So it's like, wait, yeah, what does that stand for anything? And he's like, I think just fertility.
Yeah.
So go get him this year.
Yeah.
So
I think, sorry, I pulled up just to see what the year the rabbit was known for. And I just love that apparently if you were born in the year of the rabbit, your lucky colors are black, pink, purple, blue, gray, red.
Yeah, that's about all
okay.
of them.
Yeah. Hey. Really the covering their bases there.
Yeah, everything's coming up Milhouse. It's one of the lucky colors.
Your lucky numbers are 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. You can. I've been Cole Ross. You can find me. I stream on Twitch at DuckfeedTV.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on the Duckfeed Community Facebook group.
Sorry.
Somebody's finding David right now.
Yeah, you can find me on call for work. No, I'm David Meismith. You can find me in DMZ unless I shot down your UAV.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. I've got one. I've got these pants are holding me back.
that's not good. How you wear pants.
I've got two.
Okay.
I've got rated H for hole.
Okay.
And then I've got challenge mosey.
Very good. I wrote down challenge mosey as well. I thought that was a shoo-in, but I forgot these pants were holding me back.
So I've got three. I have the gag is literally a gag. Don't buy this product for its intended use. And they are going to add cocaine.
All right, Ben, you got any?
I just had the one, Challenge Mosey.
I mean, Challenge Mosey has it by votes, but I really like these pants are holding me back.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's some strong A toadies on this one. Because add cocaine is really good as well.
Oh, it is decided.